We have two scriptures today. The first is from a prophet of Israel, Malachi, and the second is a prophet from occupied Palestine in Jesus' time, John the Baptizer. From Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. "See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years." And then from Luke, the third chapter. "In the 15th year of the reign of the emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Ethyre and Tignias, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, 'The voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God.'" This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, open to us this day your word. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all hearts here, be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I'd like us to get honest for a minute. I know this isn't generally the season for honesty. This is the season for appearances, a season to deck our houses and our halls with green while the hills around us are for the most part brown. When we brighten the winter darkness with twinkling lights and flickering candles, and we scent our world with the smells of cinnamon and pine. It is the season of tinsel, canned carols, merriment on command, a season when we want to appear, at least, generous and lighthearted, no matter how harried we are by all that has to be done, no matter how pressured or grumpy all of the festivities are actually making us. We say that Christmas brings out the best in us, and sometimes that's true. We put our coins, even our dollars, in the Salvation Army kettle. We buy gifts for the needy. We give to our favorite charities. But can we be honest for a minute? Well, all these things are good, and you all know I love the lights and the trees and the brightly wrapped packages. Christmas music is loaded in our CD player. Yes, we still use a CD player at our house. Any of you who have come to my house in the past or dropped by this afternoon will know that I am a sucker for a good nativity scene. And there is no question the generosity of the season inspires much good. But let's not kid ourselves. Behind the merry sounds of the carols hide the cries of many hearts. Behind our acts of generosity, we know that we are often more selfish than generous. And behind the tinsel and the twinkling lights lies an often dark reality. We can try and kid ourselves that there is no peace on earth. There is all too little goodwill, not to mention goodwill to all. And our lives are not as merry, sparkling, or giving as we would like others to believe. So to ensure that we don't take ourselves or our tinsel too seriously, every one of the four Gospels places John the Baptizer at the beginning of the story of Jesus. Now, not every gospel includes the Christmas story, the story of the birth of Jesus. John only has some poetic ramblings about light and word. While in Mark, Jesus springs upon the world as a full-grown adult. Only Luke reports on angels and shepherds, and the wise men only arrive from the east in Matthew's gospel. The story of Jesus' actual birth appears to be optional, an embellishment to the central message of the Gospels, but not the story of John the Baptizer and his demand for repentance. It turns out you cannot meet Jesus in the manger or anywhere until you encounter John. It's as simple as that. You cannot know why there is an Emmanuel, God with us, until you hear John telling you why you desperately need a God with you. John collides with all our Christmas illusions, his gaunt frame and camel hair attire standing in sharp contrast to the fat, jolly man in a red suit with a sack full of presents. John doesn't wonder if we have been naughty or nice. He already knows which list we're on. We are all on the naughty list. And so all four Gospels open with Jesus' cousin John calling us to repent. Later in the Gospel of Luke, John will describe what that repentance looks like. People will come to him and ask, what should they do to get right with God? And his answer will be, well, whoever has two coats must share it with one who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise. Not exactly Santa's bag full of gifts for people who already have more than they need. Following John's lead, the church has reinforced this call to honesty in its lectionary selections for Advent. The lectionary is a selection of Old and New Testament passages assigned for every Sunday of the year and a few other special worship times. And in Advent, one or two of the weeks out of the four will include a passage about John the Baptist as the gospel reading. And every week will include a message from the prophets as the Old Testament reading. And today's Old Testament selection is a promise that the Lord is coming, but it's also a warning about what that coming will mean. A call from Malachi to get ready, to repent, to turn our lives around. On our way to Bethlehem, we are challenged to get honest, to not get so caught up in the warm fuzzies of the holidays that we forget why we need Christmas in the first place. John and Malachi's message of repentance is a reminder that even basically good people like us, filled with Christmas good cheer, still need God to come to us in Bethlehem. We still need a Savior to be born to us because basically good is just not good enough. Christmas is a time of joy. It's a time when we ought to deck the halls and sing songs of celebration, but not because we are so good, but because God is so good. And because God is with us and at work to make us good as well. On the way to Christmas, we are stopped by Malachi holding a bar of soap and John waist deep in the Jordan River calling out to us, "Come on in, the water's fine." John and Malachi call us not just to repent of our sin, but to repent of trying to hide our imperfections. For if we were the people that the Christmas carols and the Hallmark movies claim, then we wouldn't need a Savior. But we all know that isn't true, don't we? Well, maybe not all of us know that. Another John had a different take on this season and its message, John Denver, in his Christmas special, I think it was about a decade before his death, a Rocky Mountain Christmas, I think it was called, closed with a choir quietly humming Silent Night. While John urged us, come on, people, if we just get together and reach out to one another, we can make peace on earth, now, here. To which I suspect John the Baptizer and Malachi would have replied, are you kidding? Come on, John, you may be a famous singer, but surely there's a limit to human presumption. By simply reaching out, we will create world peace and bring salvation. We know that's only a couple weeks until Christmas, but can't we just be honest for a minute? Well, Willimon puts it this way. Here we are celebrating our human potential, reveling in our marvelous human achievements, our glorious attainments, and here comes John the Baptist calling us to account, measuring our lives, not by what 1 out of 10 Americans think, but by what God Almighty demands, a cold, sobering burst of Jordan water in the face of our pretensions, a call to that which this society seems so inept in producing, namely, people who can speak the truth. Scratch us, he continues, beneath our Christmas card cheer, our joyful Yuletide jingles, our Norman Rockwellian images of ourselves, and we are fitting subjects for the preaching of John the Baptist, not Denver. It is as if, despite our pretensions, our denials, our seasonal orgies of self-satisfaction, we really do need turning around, repenting, confessing of our sin. The bottom line truth that John and Malachi want us to get in touch with is that while we are not clean, we are washable. We are forced to encounter John and Malachi on our way to Christmas, not to get us to feel bad about ourselves or to be just weighed down by guilt, but rather so that we can recover and discover the truly good news of the season. We can be washed. We can be cleansed. And that cleansing of our lives and souls is what Advent is all about. There is so much that can get in the way of the coming of Christ into our lives. Even our preparations themselves can get in the way. We could become so busy decorating, card writing, partying, gift buying, cookie baking, light hanging, that we clutter the path to Christmas. And I am speaking to myself here. Some of you may have seen the cartoon I posted on my Facebook page earlier this week. In the first frame, labeled One Sunday in Advent, the pastor invites her congregation, slow down, quiet, it's Advent. And then in the next frame, labeled One Monday in Advent, she is surrounded by questions coming at her from every direction. Planned the services yet? Got the music yet? Ordered poinsettias? Who's making the wreaths? Christmas party at your place? While her son asks, have you done your shopping yet? And she tells herself, hurry up! Get to work! It's Advent! It's all too often the reality of this season. But it is not the invitation of this season. So I want to invite you to take a few moments sometime today to pray over your calendar. I'm serious. I want you to pull it up on your phone. I want you to take it down off of your wall, wherever you have it. I want you to sit down with it, look it over, and consider how you plan to spend your time between today and Christmas. And then decide, where can you carve out time for worship, for prayer, for quiet? A major part of uncluttering and making sure that there will be room in the end of your life when Christmas finally comes is to make sure there is time and space for God to touch your soul and shape your days. As you look at your plans for the holidays, consider if you have become so busy making sure that you do whatever you think everyone else expects, and in finding and wrapping and shipping those perfect presents, that you have not left time to be present to God and those you love. It isn't as if making time for God and others means giving up the celebrations. Even our seasonal obligations can become moments of reflection and truth-telling. We can sit quietly and enjoy our tree or a fire or the light of a candle, and consider what darkness in our lives needs the light of Christ to dawn, to shine on it, and how we can be more open to receiving that light. As we wrap gifts, we can consider the gifts and blessings of our lives, especially the gift that is the reason for this season, the gift of Jesus Christ. As we wash up from our Christmas baking, consider what in our life needs to be washed away or cleaned up, and invite God to scrub and maybe even scour us in order to make us clean. Consider the possibility that maybe a friend or loved one needs you more than the gift you will spend hours trying to find. Maybe more important than perfection in our decorations is a smile on the face as we spend some time with someone who is dear to us. So before we rush headlong into Christmas joy, let's see if we can't take a moment and consider where we want to end up. Let's take a moment to stumble over crazy, abrasive John the Baptizer. Let's allow Malachi's soap a chance to scrub away some impurity in our lives. For if we are to meet Emmanuel, if we are to have faith, it needs to be a washed and worn faith. A faith that honestly confirms the obstacles sin places in our lives, and yet trusts the coming of Christ to refine and cleanse us of that sin. This Advent, let us prepare a way for our God. Let us journey toward Bethlehem, not because we are clean, but because we are washable, and because we mean to bathe in God's presence every chance we get, so that we will be ready on December 25th to welcome the coming of the one who makes the whole creation new. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.